Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me by phone this morning, Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Good morning to you and your listeners. I hope everybody's enjoying this wonderful weather.
Oh, yeah. A high of 82 today.
Oh, boy.
Amazing.
Amazing grace. Well, that's really, really good. So, this is the kind of weather that people say they want. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, I have, before I get into a couple more, say, controversial topics, I suppose, but there is always the light side of dealing with ethical issues and especially engineering issues. And so I thought your listeners might enjoy this one, especially if they eat apples and they may be sitting in their living room or kitchen listening to His Time saying, what is Weiss going to do now? Well, this when I went to graduate school at the University of Illinois, I started off in plant pathology back in 1967, and I worked on apples, and especially in apples, they tend to brown a little quicker than most people like that to happen, especially in cooking. And so now the United States has just approved, as the FDA, through the United States Department of Agriculture's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Services, that's a complicated term, the first biotech apple that resists browning. So for whatever that's worth, it's going to be on the market probably, in a couple of years. Some people are concerned that if you eat a genetically improved apple, who knows what you turn into. I don't think it's going to be a problem. People are already eating genetically improved corn and soybeans and peas and so forth, and probably don't even know that, resistant to bugs and stuff. But anyway, I just thought it would be kind of a light little thing here that it's going to be on the market, and supposedly it resists the browning. So, and it does resist pesticide levels and so forth. So at any rate, that's a little side of a little interesting thing for people who are interested in eating apples, which I am. I suspect you are too, mm-hmm. Andy, and other people. So
what makes an apple a bionic apple? Or what makes it, did they give any explanation as to how they approach this so that it wouldn't brown?
No, it's just obviously when apples are growing, obviously they take a look at the genes. And they take a look at apples that are very young that aren't browning, and then they look at the ones that are browning and compare the genetic codes of those. So they can locate where all of this is happening. And then what they do through, quote-unquote, genetic engineering, go in and switch those genes out and put non-browning genes in. Occasionally you get an apple that doesn't brown. And so in the genetic, roulette wheel, and so they take those genes from the ones that they know haven't been browning compared to the ones that are. Then they can say, so this is kind of where it's located. So they can locate the area on the chromosome of the apples, and they can then pull out the bad ones, insert the good ones, and then that prevents the browning over time. So this is a pretty complicated situation, and I think that they say that they think there could be some possible risk, but there's no evidence that so far with any other genetically enhanced food items that there have been at risk added. Now, of course, the use of genetics over in Europe with enhanced corn products and soybean products and Milo products has always been a very controversial issue over there. As opposed to growing them organically, that is just from nothing, no genetic improvement. So it's one of those things where it gets into genetic manipulation, genetic engineering, and is this good and right for us to be messing around? Well, people say that's okay with apples, and corn, that's not a problem, but what about the baby issue? And that leads us into the second issue. There's a rather extensive article that came out of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology Review Journal. And by the way, that is a very good website for your listeners to stay tuned into what's going on in the area of bioethics. And they make it very easy for people to understand and to read what's happening. This one happens to be on engineering the perfect baby. And this is nothing new. They have a new postdoc person there from China who believes that she can, through germline engineering. Now, germline engineering would simply mean, for our listeners, to take the sperm of the male or the egg of the female, and within the genetics of the male sperm or the female egg, you change out the bad genes and insert the good genes. That's called germline. Now, Hitler did this, of course, when he was trying to create his perfect race by destroying Jews, Christians, people that, especially babies that were born with defects, to get rid of the quote-unquote imperfect or invalid people. So in this particular article, which is rather long, they say that, yeah, we can do some of this already, and they are doing this in many fertility clinics. In fact, all fertility clinics are using what's called pre-implantation genetic engineering, where they're taking the fertilized egg and checking out whether you want a boy or a girl to get rid of this disease. But that's that means the result is the destruction of the human embryonic person that's there. This is before fertilization, okay? Listeners need to know that. And so what they're looking at is not just to get rid of, say, cystic fibrosis or spina bifida or some other genetic disorder, or perhaps even, you know, breast cancer 1 and 2, but to improve intelligence. And they call this genome surgery. Now, so this is one of those areas that is starting to raise the ire of some and the smiles of others, because they're thinking that, boy, if we can do this, what else can we do? So this could lead to the dystopia sort of a thing where you have the quote-unquote perfect race, which, of course, harkens back to what Hitler was trying to do, which I think we're already doing this type of eugenic improvement by culling out embryonic human beings that we don't want in fertility clinics. So this editing of embryos, as they're calling it, through this genome surgery, which I'm not trying to get complicated with our listeners, but this is what's happening in the field of genetic engineering. So that this caused us, once again, as you, I know, discussed on Friday in creation issues, to go back to the first article, second, third article, and so forth, to talk about God has made us who we are and enabled us by water, word, and faith, you know, to hear his word, to receive it by faith alone, and then say, I am who I am because God is my creator. And so this is not getting into the treatment of diseases. This is getting into enhancement issues. Mm-hmm. And there is a big difference. And so they're starting to work on this. The polls that are out on this, just as a side here, what I'm looking at here is that over 80% of the people say, no, we don't want to make babies that are more intelligent, although there's 15% or more that say yes. Most people say they don't mind this type of genetic intervention to reduce the risk of serious diseases. So now people have to be concerned about, okay, we can take a sperm or an egg and change the genetic code to get rid of, say, Huntington's disease, which is a lethal disease for primarily men and women. Is that okay compared to doing this after fertilization? And what then, of course, will this lead to? That's the other question, the old slippery slope. So these are just, the Apple story is kind of an interesting little story, but this engineering of the perfect baby is being taken to another level, which hasn't been before, and that is to manipulate the sperm and the egg and their genetic code to get rid of certain diseases. But then people are saying, why not improve intelligence? And this, of course, happened with the movie called Gattaca back in 1996, where everybody thought what went on in that movie, which was about genetic manipulation, was just never going to happen. But everything has happened in that movie except what they're talking about now, and that is the improvement of intelligence. Can we make you a smarter person? And so forth. So Andy, that's kind of just from the standpoint of what's happening with genetic engineering and what we're looking at down the road, this type of explosive advance of genetics and biotech means, it really does mean that germline engineering is inevitable. It's going to happen. And so people were saying, well, the benefits outweigh the risks.
It brings a lot of questions, and it certainly, as you said, can become a slippery slope. Something, I think, a conversation that we'll continue to have in the coming years.
Oh, yeah, it definitely. And my concern, too, is that people, you know, they wonder, they get a bit scared and frightful over all of this. But I think that, once again, we have to maintain our focus, as it says in Hebrews 12:1-3, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I'm not trying to be trite and say, well, this is going to resolve all the issues. But Christ always means the answer to unanswerable questions. And why is he allowing all of this to happen? Mm. Why is he allowing people to manipulate his creation of man and woman? And I can't answer that. I don't have an answer, but the answers, of course, are clear, that faith holds to the words and promises of Jesus. And I believe in this particular world, where we are seeing all of these advances in science, and many of them are very, very good and helping many, many people in many and various ways, there are some, of course, that are causing us a severe heartburn and wondering, are we once again revisiting the Tower of Babel? And clearly we have been doing that. And what we can do, of course, is when we see these things happening, we can write our legislators on these issues. We can write letters to the editor. We can speak the word of God in the public arena as Christians to witness the good news of Jesus. And I think that's where we have to be, and that's what we have to do.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Weiss.
My pleasure.
God's blessings on your week. We'll talk again next week.
And to you and your listeners.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading. Hope you can join us for that. And all coming up right after AP Radio News.